Brady Saar, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services, Erskine. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman reporting from Oklahoma City. Don Wick and Randy Conan in studio, and we'll hear from Tyler Donaldson as well. Reports from the National Farmers Union Convention are brought to you on the Red River Farm Network by North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota Farmers Unions and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Former CEO of the National Corn Growers, John Doggett, spoke on the growing interest in climate-smart agriculture, highlighting its potential profitability for farmers. He pointed out that improving soil health and building resilience against extreme weather are crucial strategies.
Weather is more intense than it's ever been. And then the market opportunities. Can we add value to the commodity? Can we find opportunities to sell credits? What other opportunities are there out there? We don't have all the answers yet, but you know, in the Inflation Reduction Act, there's $20 billion worth of money spread over 5 years for agriculture to transform itself in this country.
With farm margins tightening, many farmers are looking at these programs as a financial lifeline. However, Doggett stressed that adopting climate-smart practices requires long-term thinking.
And this isn't a quick deal. This is a long-term thing, and this is an investment, and people need to look at it as an investment. Will everything work out the way it's supposed to? I mean, you know, some of this is money to go ahead and allow farmers to take a little bit of a risk.
Despite the promise of government-backed programs, uncertainty looms over farmers who have already committed to climate-smart initiatives. Doggett noted many are questioning whether they'll receive payments for their work.
Well, the last couple of weeks, the questions I've had is, are we going to get paid on the contracts that we've signed and the work that we've done? That is a very, very important deal, and we've heard some mixed messages out of the administration. Right now, you know, getting checks cut is really, really important.
Beyond individual farm finances, Doggett pointed to the larger issue of federal investments in rural America, particularly as funding cuts are proposed. He also reflected on the current state of uncertainty in agriculture and rural communities.
Never seen it this chaotic before. I'm old enough to remember the 60s. I remember 1968. I was just a kid, but 68, 69, 70, middle of the Vietnam War, we had great divisions in this country, and it was a very trying time. And then, of course, we had the issue with President Nixon. But this is significantly more than that, and this is going to test our democracy. It's going to test us as a people, and how are we going to go ahead and remind the folks in Washington that it's of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Reporting from Oklahoma City, I'm Jamie Dickerman. Now with more farm news, here's Don Wick.
Thanks, Jamie. At the National Farmers Union Convention, South Dakota Farmers Union board member Orrin Lesmeister voiced concerns about the uncertainty in agriculture and the need for unity amongst farmers.
In the past, we've kind of been able to control our own future. We knew what everything looked like. It was stable. You could see ahead a year and the way the markets were. Right now, we're not in control, and that makes everybody pretty uneasy. But with cattle markets the way they are, the grain markets hopefully come back. You know, even with the cattle markets the way they are, there's a lot of people still hurting out there. And with these hiccups, with these pauses, with whatever they want to call it, with what's going on in D.C., really is going to start hurting some livelihood of folks all the way across this nation in ag industry.
Lesmeister also stressed the importance of working together to advocate for a strong farm bill.
Without unity, whatever policy there is, whatever direction we give national to take to D.C. and advocate for us, we got to be united behind it. Without that, that's something that's happened in ag industry for years. We're so diversified that we don't understand the next person's operation well enough that we almost divide ourselves. So in this day and age, with what's going on, especially in ag industry in the world today, we really have got to unite, come together, and get our voices heard in D.C. to make sure we get this one right.
The weather roller coaster is at work, with temperatures this morning in the single digits and teens across much of the upper Midwest and northern plains. That's after 50s and 60s for daytime highs to start the week. Warmer weather will return by midweek before cooling off once again for the weekend. Winter storm remains a possibility on Friday and Saturday.
Negotiations are underway for President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping to meet for a summit in June. This is still in the discussion phase, but it could ease trade tensions between the two countries. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Grains finished mixed yesterday with corn and wheat trading higher while the soybean complex trading lower. Ag Resource Company President Dan Bossi says traders were doing some positioning ahead of today's USDA report.
A lot of traders looking to be long of corn or long of wheat versus short of soybeans, and that kind of also played into the themes fundamentally that existed on the weekend.
The report at the end of the month is usually a bigger report for price movement.
Well, it is if we have the report. Of course, we need to get a continuing resolution, get the government to keep it working if that report's going to be on time. But I think that would be the key report of the month, and then we'll get into the planting season. But already there's a lot of talk circulating about the dryness in the plains and the Black Sea and a few other places in the world and watching for wheat. So we're starting to creep in a new crop kind of phenomena or thought process as we go forward.
There's a special election today that'll determine the balance of power in the Minnesota House. The DFL candidate who won in November was disqualified because he did not live in the district. Ahead of today's vote, Republicans have a 67-66 majority in the House. This area, which covers a portion of the northern metro, is traditionally a DFL stronghold, and if the Democratic candidate wins, the House will be tied.
The Minnesota House Agriculture Committee will vote on its budget bill tomorrow. That's after reviewing the proposal yesterday. Chair Paul Anderson said everyone on the committee would agree agriculture should get a bigger share of the overall state budget.
This bill does that. Not a big push, but it increases our base by about $17 million, and that's about just under 4% of the anticipated $450 million surplus at the end of the 26-27 biennium. And I think we can do a lot of good things for a lot of people with a relatively small amount of money that still is in the ag budget.
Ranking member Rick Hansen criticizing the bill, saying this was not the normal process.
I've heard you state many times, you know, that ag should be nonpartisan. Well, congratulations, you've made it partisan by trying to ram this through while you have a one-vote majority. Extremely disappointing.
Minnesota Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Eric Putnam criticized what is happening in the House.
In the Senate, we're still doing business as usual, and that means that we're taking our time and thinking through the best decisions that we can make with the limited resources we have. And it's unfortunate that the House has come up with a kind of funny money proposal. It's not only kind of irresponsible, it's also silly. It's so political, it's silly.
Putnam said the federal government is responsible for one-third of Minnesota's budget. With the current environment on Capitol Hill, Putnam said some of his priorities are in jeopardy.
Initially, you know, I maybe mentioned this to you before, my hope had been to put more resources into FBM and mental health and succession planning. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that this time around, but that had been one of my goals, and if we don't do it this year, I'll hope to do it next.
A property tax reform bill was rejected in its first vote in the South Dakota legislature, came back up and passed overwhelmingly in the House. The bill reduces the growth in property tax assessments by capping total assessed value increases at 3% each year from 2027 through the year 2031. That bill now returns to the Senate.
In Bismarck, the House Finance Committee considered legislation to replace the current countercyclical ethanol program with a low-carbon fuel incentive program. This fund would be for ethanol plants. Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring.
In doing so, it would put them in a position where they could start to move their product into a sustainable aviation fuel system, which should bring more premium back to the facility, and in turn, back to farmers that are actually selling corn to these facilities.
That hearing wrapped up without a vote.
President Trump signing an executive order allowing products traded under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement to be outside of the 25% tariffs announced previously. That means products including Canadian potash imports will have a reduced tariff rate of 10%. Fertilizer Institute and the Agricultural Retailers Association praising that decision. The U.S. sources 85% of its potash from north of the border.
North Dakota Governor Kelly Armstrong has signed an executive order declaring a statewide fire emergency and activating the state's emergency operations plan. With the drought conditions, the risk of wildfire remains high. A year ago, the state experienced some of the most destructive wildfires in history. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. E15 receiving a lot of discussion with the 8-state summer waiver in place and a push for year-round E15 sales. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
The National Corn Growers Association has put out a call to action for year-round E15 sales. CEO Neil Kasky hopes it will be enough to get year-round E15 across the finish line.
We did. We launched a call to action a couple weeks ago to get as many supporters of ethanol and E15 in particular to sign a letter that we are sending to congressional leaders that will demonstrate the support that exists right now in rural America for E15. And obviously, you are following the farm economy, and obviously your listeners are living it. These are tough times.
Year-round E15 would provide some help to farmers during such tough economic times.
Every 1% increase in the blend rate equates to about 500 million bushels of corn. The E15, it is not a mandate at all. It just kind of clears out some of the outdated regulations that prevent retailers from offering unleaded 88 to drivers. And so we believe that when given the choice, kind of pull up to the pump and you see something that is 20 to 25% cheaper than regular fuel, you're probably going to E15.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Minnesota Farmers Union expanding its spring town hall meeting series. Minnesota Farmers Union Executive Committee Vice Chair Ted Winter says there are a lot of issues concerning farmers in the state.
We're inviting people to come to our town halls and express their concerns about what's going on with agriculture, what's going on with Social Security, what's going on with the other things that they have an idea that are important to our farmers too.
The meetings will be held in Wilmer, Sleepy Eye, Moorhead, and Hallock. Winter says it's important for people to get together and talk about the issues.
We're going to expand it. We're going to have these town hall, people's town hall meetings, and we're going to invite the public, and we're going to invite people to come in and share with us and share together, you know, what we can do to make our country, you know, a place that people are proud to live at.
Checking markets, Minneapolis wheat down 5 1/4 at 5.99 1/4 for the May contract. Chicago wheat for May down 3.5. Hard red winter wheat May down 2 3/4. Corn higher, 2 1/4 better for May, 4.74 1/4. New crop a penny higher. Soybeans May 10.17, a 3-cent gain. And as we speak, the new crop soybeans 2 1/4 cents to the plus side. Checking in on the farm calendar, Peterson Farm Seed has its Cup of Agronomy meetings going on across the region. They're in Milbank today, a 10 o'clock start tomorrow in Fordville, Crookston on Thursday. Also, as we look to the farm calendar, Transportation Go, a conference put on by the Specialty Soya and Grains Alliance, will be held tomorrow and Thursday. That's taking place in Minneapolis, looking at all things transportation. And the Minnesota Farm Bureau Foundation has its annual Ag Gala coming up, their fourth annual. It will be held at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Tuesday, March 18th is the date for that fundraiser and that event that they have on the agenda. And Nitrogen College coming up, being put on by Extension. It'll be the 19th and 20th at the Northwest Research and Outreach Center in Crookston. Have yourself a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.